Hello and welcome to Back Market Podcast. This is episode, 73? My name is Raj.
And my name is Brandon.
There we go.
How you doing, Raj?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
So, change of plan, guys.
The race is cancelled. There will be no races. No, I'm kidding. Not that big of a change of plan.
Well, yeah, not yet. No, but we were planning to have Rio Nogara on the podcast this week, Australian GT driver. But as far as I've been able to gather, he's at a driving course today and is very busy in the lead up to Albert Park on the weekend.
Understandably.
So, yeah, understandably.
So we've had to postpone.
Yeah, we've had to postpone, indeed.
We'll
keep you posted. I'll rock up in his garage over the weekend and be like, Yo,
we need an interview.
What the fuck? And he'll be like, oh, I'm so sorry.
It's all right. We'll work it out. We do want to speak to him, so we'll work that out. And if we talk to him next week or the week after, we'll be able to then talk about the start of his race for the season anyway. So that's
indeed.
There's positives, Rush.
There are positives.
And don't worry, there is no lack of content because there's a lot of Formula One stuff to talk about.
There is.
It's been a while since we've done like a traditional episode. Like a race preview episode.
It's true.
So let's lead in with... I'm gonna do something a little different, Raj. I'm going to start with a story. And just tell me if you can tell the difference between this story and some other ones. Did you hear that?
Yes.
That's the new news noise for this particular story.
Okay.
I'll give it to you again because it's important.
Right.
Raj, that right there... If you haven't heard what this is, I'm leading off with this story because it is the most ridiculous one of the week. F1 has released the world's shortest remix of a song by the Chemical Brothers, and that was it just then. I played it twice.
What?
And it reminded me of our news noise. You know what I mean? It sort of sounds like a vroom of a F1
kind
car.
Kind of, yeah.
Kind of what you're familiar with from our news noise, which is a little something like this. Yeah. Kind of like that. But what it essentially is a 3-second version of the song WGTT 1500 BPM F1 Ninum Mix. 1500 BPM is, of course, how many beats per minute that was, which is in line with the 15,000 RPM that a current F1 engine produces. Mm. It is also accompanied by a series of 6 short films featuring an F1 car, seemingly driven by a dog. I'll let that sink in.
What?
Yep, that's correct. It's a video of a dog driving a Formula One car with little, like, robot arms playing alongside Chemical Brothers music. This already, for the year, wins the award for Formula One weirdest tie-in they could ever do.
Wow. And people say Formula One is broken. Yeah. I don't know why.
No, Raj, I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know why. Why would they...
Does that sound like a sport that doesn't know what it's doing?
Yes.
Yes. Weird... But the Chemical Brothers are huge F1 fans, apparently. They've performed at many Grand Prix around the world over the years. Okay. And they say that their music matches the speed and intensity of F1 quite nicely. And it is a reflection of their music and live shows. So, weird, but I'm going to give it a pass. I'm giving it the thumbs up.
You're giving it the thumbs up?
I think it's fine.
Okay,
there
fine.
There are weirder things that
what,
could
what
go
What is
on.
F1 going to be using that noise for?
It is unclear. They posted it the other day, and they've put it on their Twitter. As like, hey, check out this Ninum mix.
All right, god damn it, it's our news noise now sometimes.
Sometimes it might be.
It will be the news noise.
It's our weird story news noise.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Raj, do you have a normal or weird story?
Let me have a look here and see if I can find a weird one. No, normal.
No, they're all normal in comparison?
They're all normal.
All right, back to normal.
Alrighty. That sounds so boring now in comparison. Anyhow... Formula One outlines 2 strategic priorities for 2019.
Woo! This is way lamer than the Nina mix, but all right.
Yeah, well,
what are the strategic plans?
Strategic priorities are greater publicity of the technical achievements of its turbo hybrid engines and making the championship more accessible. Those are the 2 strategies. Pretty much what they've been saying they want to do for...
Yeah, that makes sense.
...a long time.
That makes sense.
Yes, yep. But Chase Carey outlined, like, the fact that Mercedes had achieved 50% thermal efficiency in 2017. No one really knows that.
These are the things that fly under the radar.
No one even really knows what the significance of that is 50% thermal efficiency was at one point in time seen as a scientific impossibility. There's no way you could ever get that kind of efficiency out of an internal combustion engine. Mercedes did it in 2017 and people just let it slide because no one fucking knows about it. So he wants to showcase those kind of technical achievements. Also, he wants to continue to be a sport that exudes mystique and glamour, yet at the same time is open and inviting to all. So he wants to keep inviting females into the sport, etc., and just changing the image of the sport as something for gentlemen to...
Everyone.
Something for everyone.
Very much agreed. In yep. fact... segues perfectly into this little tidbit from Ross Brawn has made an announcement that he wants all F1 teams involved in next season's F1 Netflix tie-in documentary show, which should be the case. Have you started watching it at all, Raj?
I have.
How much have you watched?
Fucking epic. Two episodes.
I'm already past you. Great.
Yeah.
I've watched 4.5. Right. I need to watch the second half of episode 5, I think I'm up to. But yeah, it's really good. It's very cool. Like, it's... I can't even imagine coming into that having not watched the season last year, so I know all these storylines and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But they do a really good job of... That's a part of Formula One that I think when you just turn on a race coverage, they don't always get you really involved in, is that all the storylines going on in the background. You know, it's a mammoth of a political sport.
But I really want this to be released pretty much live. You know, week to week, they should be releasing these
stories. I don't
know,
Raj. I thought that initially... Once I got a few more episodes in, without spoiling it for you, even though it's not really spoilers, it's a reality, it happened. But it really goes into, like, announcing things that we didn't know at the time.
Right.
So it kind of, like, it has, say, for example, Ricardo talking about him leaving to go to Renault.
Yeah.
And obviously he was talking to the documentary in real time before those announcements were publicly made.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there is an added kind of like, oh, this isn't released till the end of the year. Cool. We can tell you things knowing in confidence they won't be released until the end of the year. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Okay, good point.
So it's kind of a really cool replacement for those somewhat drab in comparison
I really need
season
to watch
reviews.
It. Goddamn.
You know those old season reviews we used to get where it's like, you know, the race in Monza with Kimi Raikkonen coming in second? Well, you know, and there was just like a couple of highlights and that was it. And then the next race. It's like that on steroids plus all the side stuff going on.
Yeah.
Amazing camera angles. They do a really good job showing like the action and the overtaking and the crashes.
Yeah.
Awesome stuff. But the one glaring obvious missing part is Ferrari and Mercedes.
Yes.
So if they really want to do that, point number two in making it accessible to as many people as possible, the Netflix show is a great job at that. But all 10 should be on all 10 teams and all 20 drivers and 10 team principals and anyone else in the sport needs to be fully invested.
Yes.
It benefits everyone.
Otherwise, there really isn't a fucking point to it. I mean, okay, that's a bit harsh.
Well, the documentary
like having
does a good
show,
job of showing the stuff going on besides up the front.
But it's not, it doesn't give the whole story. It really doesn't give a reflection of
what happened.
What happened that season without all of the teams in it. So, yeah, I think that they really do need the participation of all the teams out there to actually make this worthwhile, I think.
Yeah, technically next season has not actually been signed off on, but the guys that have been there, they were invited to Barcelona. They're going to be in Australia, so they're doing the filming in anticipation for the second season being signed off on.
Right.
I think if they can get all the teams involved like they did these other ones, it'll be amazing. And we can get a full scope of the thing. But they do a great job of like, hey, you know what? This race wasn't that interesting up the front. The most interesting shit was halfway down the field. And it's because there was a real good rivalry this weekend between McLaren and Renault or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they talk about that kind of dynamic. It's really, really good. So if you haven't watched it, you are clearly an F1 fan for listening to this podcast. It is right up your alley.
Yeah.
They've done a great job.
They have done.
We will continue to talk about it because I'm going to watch it all by next week.
Okay. Yeah, I will try. I will try.
I've been...
Anna's going to kill me.
So
I'm going to talk about my breakup and the show next week.
She's not as big of a fan as you. Well, she can't binge it in the same capacity.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Although
enough. She's
been watching that freaking marriage show about people...
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Raj, I'm cutting you off. I was going to get riled up.
No, I know.
Move on.
I know. Oh, God. All right. So, tech chief Paddy Lowe takes leave from the Williams Formula One team.
Yeah.
Something we went into last week and said, this guy's going to bite the dust. And sure enough, before the week was out, I think before the day was out, actually.
He's the scapegoat.
He is kind of the scapegoat.
Whether or not it's justified, it's unclear. Like, from an outsider looking in, it is hard to say how much of the blame can be laid at his feet.
Yes.
But he is obviously being dumped with it.
At the end of the day, if you're the general of an army, you take responsibility for all of the stupid things your soldiers did. That's how it works, right? So,
sure.
The people under him might not have performed properly, but at the end of the day, he was the leader. He should have been in charge. He should have made it work.
Have you got to the episode 2 of that show was not the Monaco episode, was it? No. You would know the Monaco episode, trust me. You'd be a big fan of it, of course, for Ricardo's victory. But they really focus in on Williams that week, that episode.
Right, right.
Oh, it depresses you. It really does. Like, Williams are in a way, like, they were last year. And if they're in that kind of position this year, like, it's, yeah, you're right, they're gone.
Yeah.
It's not a matter of, wow, they're going to be at the back for a long time. It's like, they're not going to be there.
Yeah.
At a certain point. Stroll's commitment in terms of financial commitment is gone. They need to do something, and it's not working so far.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have a solution for them.
Yeah.
Is getting rid of Paddy Lowe that solution? I don't know.
Yeah, so who the fuck knows? But yeah, his future was under scrutiny, obviously, with all of the bullshit that's happened with Williams in the last couple of weeks, not making testing on time, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But 1 week before the F1 season begins in Australia, it has emerged that Lowe has stepped away from his role. A team spokesperson confirmed to Autosport that Lowe is taking a leave of absence from the business for personal reasons.
Stress, probably. From losing all those little parts that they were meant to put on.
Yeah, I mean,
whatever he said last week. There's so many parts!
I really didn't like being beaten by Claire Williams every day. It was getting down on my spirit. And
fair enough.
I'm taking leave.
I wouldn't mess with her.
For personal reasons. Okay, I really just don't want to go into it.
I guess he is avoiding the embarrassment of what could be their worst race performance in Australia of all time. It could
gonna
be
awful.
That bad.
It's going to be awful, and maybe this will help Paddy Lowe in the long run, but... Sorry. The team hasn't indicated what this means for Lowe's long-term future. That being said, I don't think anyone knows what's in it for Paddy Lowe's long-term future, because at this point, Williams is kind of a sinking ship, and I really feel for George Russell and Robert Kubica.
Yeah.
But yeah, this year is going to be tough. It's going to be tough.
Especially for a young driver in George Russell, who's like, yeah, you need a good entry to Formula One or you can fade away as quickly as you came.
Yeah.
It's so hard.
Should I get on this boat? It's like, buddy, it's sinking, but you can try.
Yeah, it's like jumping on the Titanic just after it hits the iceberg.
Yeah.
You're like, that's a big risk. Oh, no.
Oh, that was too late. Too late.
Anyway.
Too late.
Speaking of Williams, we have an ex-driver in Sergei Sirotkin officially joining the Renault team as their reserve driver. So, yeah. I mean, speaking of guys that jump onto a sinking ship, he is climbing aboard a life raft.
Yeah.
That's a good metaphor.
Yeah.
He is still within the Formula One team. Jack Aitken is now their second reserve team, junior person, simulator, helper. I don't know. They change all the titles all the time.
Indeed.
Rejoining the Renault family. I didn't realize Sorokin was actually Renault family before he went to Williams.
Yeah.
So it all comes back around.
Hmm.
Oh, and finally, I have one more Williams thing. I'll just spit it out now. They need to make major changes to their car to ensure it's even legal for Australia. So you've seen the images of their front wing, quite a different sort of approach than we've seen other teams. Very, I don't know, they're like little mustaches on each side.
Hmm.
Compared to the other guys, which are much more like solid, free, like a solid element. These are more free-flowing little points on each end.
Yeah, indeed.
But they're not quite sure if they're legal for the season opener, so they're having to make some changes right before to make sure they're up to the FIA technical regulations that state only 6 suspension members are permitted, 4 wishbone members, 1 push rod, and 1 steering arm. If you don't understand what that means, essentially, they don't have that with the Williams. They have... I don't know. It's a curved piece as opposed
it's a
to
cape.
The... It's a, yeah, exactly. Okay, fair enough. They're kind of covering these wishbone elements and they're like, oh, no, they're still in there.
Mm.
But there's just... It's just this big piece of plastic that goes over the top and is all now part of that element, which is apparently not okay.
Mm.
So any benefit that they might have gained from that, they just lost, and it's just getting worse.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Bad bets
so
all around.
Front suspension and front wing both have to change.
Hopefully only minor. They're saying it's only a minor change for them.
Yeah,
but
bullshit.
It's enough to be like, man, they're just making the wrong bets at every point.
They have. They really have. And that's what I mean by this season's going to be tough.
I was reading someone, it was just a comment on one of these articles. Someone was saying, like, here is the history of Williams in the last 5 to 6, maybe even 7 years. It's like, we're having problems. We're not quite sure what's going on. We're having problems. We're not quite sure what's going on. That was one of our best race performances ever. What happened? We don't know. Something happened. We don't get it. Next year. Oh, it's really going badly again. They've never really understood their car for like, not just the last 2 or 3 years. I'm talking like 5, 6 years now.
Yeah.
When it and the thing is, they've, even when they've been okay, like they've had a pole position not that long ago in the scheme of things. They've been on the podium not that long ago in the scheme of things. I mean, there's been huge droughts in between those, but when they do get it right, they still don't know why. You're like, how can it be that? It's just a matter of like they're throwing shit at the wall and seeing what sticks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at one point, I think 2014... was one of their best years.
Yeah, and for a while anyway, yeah.
It just seemed that, and it was pretty obvious to all of us F1 fans after not too long watching the sport that Williams is really just playing off how good that Mercedes engine is. And it became pretty freaking apparent pretty quickly that they couldn't make a car that was up to scratch. And everyone passed them and they were left, you know,
but even that, even 2014, it was still very hit or miss. They would go missing, and they wouldn't quite know how to put it back together. Anyway, let's move away from Williams. It's depressing.
Yes. Okay.
Do you have anything happier?
No.
Oh, great. It's a real downer episode.
Yeah, it's always a downer episode. Shit.
Well, so just so I get everyone back in the good mood. Okay, continue.
Okay, so Renault's Remy Taffin. Okay. I don't know how you say his name.
Remy Taffin.
Taffin.
Yep, sure, sounds right.
Taffin.
Could be right.
Taffin. F1 is running late for its proposed 2021 engine changes. So,
Taffin.
Yeah, I'm just going to call him Tiffin.
Okay.
Because he reminds me of the Indian
word. So this
word
is 2021.
For lunchbox.
Okay.
So, yes, 2021 engine changes. And he's saying it's getting really very late to make any of these changes that the sport wants to make. So,
especially because Renault want to be the first off the line to make them.
Yeah, exactly. They need to do it quickly. So the quicker they can get those regulations set in stone, the better it is for Renault. But yeah, FIA President Jean Todt claimed in August last year that he expected the regulations to be finalized soon, but there is still no public outline of the sporting or technical rules and regulations. And I remember doing that story.
Yep.
Remember saying,
I feel like we've done it several times.
Yes, Jean Todt should be there soon. We'll have them soon. Nearly there, boys. But yeah, Taffin says the really big thing we need to decide on is regulations. He says, we need to fix them so that we can work on the defined frame. So if it happens, yes, we will have increased revs. We will increase power. We were already running late if we want to make changes. So the scope of change we are looking at is still possible. But I think we really need to get on with it. And F1's likely to avoid a radical overhaul of its current architecture and will not drop the MZUH as planned.
Man, for a very fast sport, they do some shit very slowly.
Yep.
That's
very,
all I'm going to say.
Very fucking slowly. But Red Bull team principal Christian Horner said last year that ongoing delays meant meaningful change would likely not happen before 2023. And last month, Renault F1 boss Cyril Abitbol described the progress as not advanced enough. I continue to believe that the FIA and Formula One are trying to achieve too much at the same time. It may be better and safer to freeze or to secure some areas that need to be secured in priority. I don't know why he laughed there. Everything was said completely, perfectly.
If you've seen the show, he very much that accent.
Yeah.
Also, he's kind of funny.
Yeah, he actually kind of is a cool dude.
There's a really good scene where him and Horner have a little chat right after the Ricciardo announcement. And he's like, He's a snarky motherfucker. It's
is
pretty.
He?
Yeah, because it happened right after, you know, the Honda change.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was pissed off about that. So he just came in and gave, you know, Horner a little nudge. It's good stuff. It's good stuff that they had a camera there for.
Okay, I need to watch that. Anyway. But yes, he says this. There's still lots to be done, and the necessity is to be pragmatic. Make sure to get something out of all this as quickly as possible, because 2021 is tomorrow. We're all operating on a three-year plan, and a three-year plan is up to 2022. So we need to know what is happening for budgeting proposals, for investment, for recruitment, and so forth. But yeah, Cyril are pushing hard.
They need to get it sorted.
They do.
But yeah, Christian's pushing it from the Honda point of view that they also want to be quick off the line to get these changes made. Moving on.
Okay. So you want to do a story?
Yeah, I want to do a story.
Okay.
All right, let's see. First of all, it's pretty big news. FIA have confirmed that the drivers and teams will now be getting an additional point for fastest lap.
Yes, indeed.
This has been introduced in the past.
Yes.
In the 80s?
No, 90s? It was 1950 to 1959.
Oh, that's where actually. I'm getting confused. The years were wrong. But yeah, the 50s, sorry. Yeah. Long time ago.
It actually decided the championship one year.
Whoa,
which
really?
Is why they, I think, one of the reasons they took
and then
it
they
back
got rid
out.
Of it because they're like, that's too much power.
It shouldn't be, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
They've had it in other motorsports, Formula E do it, things like that. I think it's a good idea. I think it will.
I think it should be fine. Like, I really don't care.
Yeah, it should be fine, right? It shouldn't should cost fine. Anyone a championship or a position or anything like that. But it will do things like, hey, the guys in fifth and fourth, maybe they'll just do that little bit extra in the last 10 laps because they've got the new tyres. And then that might push the guys up front to not coast as much. Like, just those little times where it might just encourage a bit more action. Awesome.
Yeah.
And we're going to see people like Hülkenberg, Ricciardo, maybe Raikkonen occasionally. Those guys in these, you know, midfield teams that are more than capable of putting on a fastest lap.
Yeah.
Sitting maybe not really racing anyone, doing something special. So, yeah. I'm all for it.
Also, what is the one condition to getting that point?
You have to be within the top 10.
Within the top 10.
So you have to already be scoring points. So yes,
correct.
You can't be coming last to do this.
Yeah.
So I was going to say Williams don't have any risk of that anyway.
But let's say
being the fastest,
Lewis
but they
Hamilton
wouldn't be able to.
Was fighting his way through the field. He couldn't then put in the fastest lap from 15th place and actually get an extra point from
that. Yes, no, 100%. It's only in addition to whatever points you score for the week.
Correct.
Weekend, rather. That also is a point for you as a driver and a additional point to the Constructors' Championship tally as well. So, cool. Anyway, good stuff. I'm happy about this.
I am happy about this too. Cool. I'm glad we're all happy. I'm glad we are all happy. Now, the 2021 Formula One concept is being claimed to produce 5 times less dirty air than the current cars.
5 times less dirty air. Good. So clean air?
So
is it clean yet?
So the air is 5 times less dirty. In other words, 5 times cleaner? Yeah.
Yeah. Five times cleaner, but still filthy.
Yeah.
Absolutely disgusting air.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So this is the aero changes?
Yeah. So the aero changes that they want to introduce for 2021. Obviously, this year they introduced the
simplified
front wing.
Lower, wider, rear wing.
Yes, correct.
Like
but to be honest, most of the turbulence that affects cars doesn't come from outwashing front wings. It comes from the floor.
Yeah.
So without changing the floor, you aren't really going to change shit.
Yeah. You can make bits and pieces of difference, but not a holistic change.
But not a holistic change, exactly. But Ross Brawn actually came out and said, I have to change the page. One moment. I still use paper. That's
yes,
right.
Yes, Raj is old school.
Paper. Anyhow, so F1's initial 2021 car concept was launched in Singapore last year. And Brawn said F1 had a design that would allow cars to keep as much as 80% of their performance in dirty air. And yet, the car in the works now, you only lose 10% of performance. So it actually looks like the estimates were not as good as what they've actually been able to produce. Tom Barzis had targeted a 1/3 decrease in performance loss with this year's rules. And
do you know what that noise just was? That was Mr. 20 Man messaging us both saying, whose phone's not off? Continue.
That's funny.
That's very funny.
Funny.
I've never addressed.
You're a funny cunt.
I've never addressed when our phones buzz, but that is very funny. 20 man, you get a shout out. You get a shout out. We both left our phones.
Yeah, right. You get a shout out. You sneaky little.
Move on. What did Ross Broad say?
All right, Ross Broad. Ross Broad. Anyway, so yeah, he's saying the cars will only lose about 10% of performance when you're within about two car lengths of the car in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
So that is much better than the current 50% loss that you get.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're looking to really improve the
they
kind
could still
of
do that
effect
in 2021 without those things Renault and Red Bull are pushing for.
Which are
engine more. There's more engine related changes for 2021. Yep. This is more like they could still implement this. So some things will get better, if not everything. So
yeah,
looking on the bright side.
Look, yeah. And but one last thing here. Ross Brawn says he doesn't think that removing downforce is a way to solve any of the issues. He says the things that made Formula One amazing initially was the speed, right?
Yeah.
Back in, for example, the V10 era, you'd see the cars going around a corner and the speed would just blow your mind. And he still thinks that you really need to have that. Without downforce, you're not going to have that. But the downforce needs to be delivered in a way that the cars can race each other. So that's what we have to look forward to in 2021. Let's hope they can get it right.
In the meantime, we do have some positive news, because according to Romain Grosjean, because of the changes in the wide sprint aerodynamic regulations for this year, he thinks DRS will have a more potent threat, or provide a more potent threat for overtaking.
Yeah, it should.
And he's feeling like in the testing so far, it's already shown to have some success.
Okay.
Other drivers have made comments that they are, you know, cautiously optimistic that passing and opportunities like that will be greater. Daniel Ricciardo mentioned he is ready to go for a massive weekend of overtaking and a massive season of overtaking, because he's expecting to be a little bit further back on the grid and hoping that these regulation changes are going to be able to allow him those few extra opportunities per race.
Yep.
I'm hopeful. I think the overall number will go up in terms of comparing last year to this year in terms of overtakes.
But in the predictions last week, you said the overall number would go down.
I know. Can I change it?
No.
Well, now that the driver said something, I'm differing.
Oh, now that the driver said something.
Well, they know what's up. I don't know. I am now more cautiously optimistic. I was the opposite last week, and hearing some of these things, I'm like, you know what? With DRS taking
you
a big effect, I'm excited.
You should have had faith, my son.
Look, it won't be that big of a deal.
Yeah.
I'm not expecting a massive change.
No, neither.
But
neither.
There will be some.
There will be something.
And I'm just bringing up what Grosjean said, because it was, you know, positive.
Yeah. Okay, so Lewis Hamilton has come out and said the midfield team should be closer to Mercedes, Ferrari, and Red Bull, being obviously the big three. But, yeah, he believes that the gap has gone from about a second to about half a second. So he thinks that the gap has closed literally
50%.
All at the same time. And
for everyone except Williams.
For everyone except for Williams, yeah. Yes, correct. But, yes, everyone seems to have changed that gap at the same damn time. And he also thinks that Ferrari and Red Bull Honda would be in championship contention.
He says that every year.
He does say that every year, but I really hope it's true this year.
I think one of them will be. I don't think both. I think that's too much to ask for.
You think it's too much to ask for?
It's
I think it might be right.
For.
I think it might be right. But, yeah, he says before there was about a second gap or something like that. I think now it's within half a second, maybe less, which is awesome. And I hope that's true.
I hope that's true for qualifying.
And I really hope that development-wise, that the big three don't just streak ahead as they leave the rest of the field kind of behind in terms of the development race. I hope it doesn't just turn into last year by June. You know what I mean?
No, 100%.
Yeah.
Hamilton said something else this week.
Did he? He keeps talking. Just talking? He never talks.
He says, I'm 100% going to drive a MotoGP bike or ride a MotoGP bike.
But what? Yeah. Like for a couple of minutes? Or?
I think that's for now, yes. He loves bikes. He has a partnership with MV Agusta. Yep. Augusta?
Augusta.
I was right the first time. Good. They released a special limited edition superbike called the LH44, which he's recently been driving around or riding around track days.
Yep.
He looks all right on it. Like, he's not slow.
Yeah.
But he says that he is 100% ready to get behind a full-on MotoGP bike, and that's his goal. 100%,
so
I'm going
to
ride one.
He wants to race.
Well, I don't think he wants to, like, join the MotoGP circuit. He says, I need a few more days, firstly, as I've only had 2.5 days on a track with my bike. But I'd love to try a full-blown MotoGP bike. That's my dream now. I watch every weekend when it's on, even when I'm on a Grand Prix weekend. I'm jumping out of my meetings before and after qualifying to watch their qualifying sessions.
Wow.
It's just so busy that I don't have as much time to get behind one, but I would very much like to. I'm sure Mercedes are like, okay, when you retire, because you are not getting on one of those death machines while
right
we pay
now.
You 75 billion gazillion rupees every year or whatever the hell they pay.
Yeah.
No company ever wants to hear that your prime employee is like, I'm going to ride a bike to work tomorrow.
Yeah, no offense, but Robert Kubica, that is, you kind of fucked it up for everyone.
Robert Kubica was like, yeah, hey, I'm going to go do this thing. And they're like, okay, that'll be fine. And ever since, no one's been allowed to do anything.
Yeah.
Wrap them up in cotton wool, put a halo on them, and then let them go out. And then they come back for the weekend, you put them in the car.
Oh, God. What happened when you put the halo on them? Oh, it hit their head and actually was harder than their head, so he died.
Anyway, I just thought it was interesting because I didn't realize he was such a big fan.
Yeah,
I did not realize he was such a big fan.
I knew that he was a massive fan, but that quote doesn't say anything about racing or anything, but he does want to race a MotoGP
maybe
bike,
one day.
Which
maybe
is cool.
One day. It is. He's very into it.
Mm.
Anyway, moving on.
Okay, so... Ricardo. So, Ricardo came out with a few statements, and Renault is basically planning a new F1 development philosophy for 2019. He says that the F1 team will be just developing very, very differently in 2019, and he hopes it will help them stay ahead of the curve. Renault accomplished its goal of finishing top of the F1's midfield last year, but questions were raised over the rate of its in-season development compared to rivals Haas and Racing Point. So Nico Hülkenberg conceded towards the end of 2018 that Renault had lost out over the course of the season, having started with what was convincingly the fourth best car. Now, Ricardo, who's arrived from Red Bull to partner Hülkenberg in 2019, said he expects good things from the French outfit in this year's development race. I think the philosophy this year will be quite different as far as the upgrades we get, he claimed. I think the plan and structuring is going to change, and the philosophy on what to bring and when to bring it, I believe that's going to change as well. I'll be proud of it and trust that the process and hope we are staying ahead of the curve. And I don't know.
So not like last year where they just stopped developing partway through.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
But also they want to be developing both aerodynamically and in terms of their engine much more aggressively, bringing parts to the track pretty much as soon as they have them.
Well, that's what money will do.
Yeah.
They've just thrown money at this problem.
Yes.
Like, nothing is impossible, just expensive.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yes.
And Renault are realizing that.
Pretty much.
I hope it works.
Yes,
I don't think it'll work this year, but I think it will over time.
Yeah. It won't work this year, but... will it by 2021?
We will
that
see glimpses of it. We will see glimpses
question.
Of it. I hope. Glimpses
that,
of this.
If we don't see glimpses...
it's all over.
It's all over.
Yeah. They worked out what that paddle Vettel was doing. Using. Was.
What? Really?
Yeah.
What?
It was a handbrake.
What?
It was kind of a handbrake. So if it affected the brakes, it's technically illegal. So what it... is, all right, let me get this straight. According to Italian media and technical expert Giorgio Piola, the answer is that a little bit unusual, but it is in fact a handbrake. Not controlling the actual brakes, because that would be illegal, but making it easier for him to pull off a sick handbrake turns in the paddock. No, I'm just kidding. Presumably, it affects the power unit and the method of manually controlling the engine's braking. So the engine itself, it's unclear whether or not this affects it directly the internal combustion engine or it's running like how the hybrid system is harvesting the energy and kind of halting it in that moment.
Right, right.
But it's assisting his braking.
Okay. So what's the point of that, though?
Well, obviously not much. Obviously, it's only a very minor effect, if any, because Kimi Raikkonen chose not to use it, apparently. It wasn't a matter of, let's only give it to our top driver.
Yeah, right.
It's a matter of Kimi Raikkonen said, I don't really need it. I don't want it. That's it. So it clearly isn't giving them massive performance gains if they're not forcing Kimi Raikkonen to try it. It's really minor, I know, right?
It would be very small. The advantage you would gain from that would be tiny.
Yeah, anyway, that's what they've worked out to be. Whether or not we see it come out this year as well is yet to be seen. And we probably won't see it for a while because it's really hard to get a camera in that weird little spot.
Yeah, indeed.
It's like a not a often seen area of the car. Anyway,
indeed.
Do you have any more stories, Raj?
I do not.
I have one more. It's very rare that I have more stories than you.
It is.
Formula One teams will be potentially forced to almost double their front wing spares in 2019. Each race, they bring, you know, a handful with them. But according to Racing Point technical director Andrew Green, because of the revised front wings now, apart from having fewer elements, they're also much wider. And this increase now means they are more exposed to damage and potential bumps and breaks than they were in previous seasons. So although they are probably cheaper to produce, they are potentially being forced to bring twice as many. I do hope that in a sense, like, it's really interesting in some ways when you lose some front wing and it changes the paddock. You know what I mean? Sorry, changes the grid. But it won't be nice to see your driver be forced to make a pit stop because of some idiot taking a little swipe at the extra 20 centimeters of front wing you now have on the side of your cars.
Mm.
Anyway, thought it was interesting. Clearly, Raj is not interested in my story.
Nah.
All right. Raj, shall we talk about something interesting?
Sure.
Let's talk about the Australian Grand Prix.
Let's do it.
Raj.
Yes.
Australia.
Yes.
That's where we're at.
I live here.
We do. We both live here.
Yeah.
This is our home race.
Yes.
It's always nice to start the year off with a race that doesn't start at midnight.
Yeah, indeed.
This race will be on at, what was it, 6 o'clock? No, 4 o'clock rather, not 6 o'clock. 4 o'clock in the afternoon? 3 o'clock in the afternoon?
No, I think maybe 5 or 6, you might be right. Honestly, I don't know because I'm
thought it was
just
like 3-ish.
Gonna be at the track, but check.
I'm gonna check this out for the local time of each particular race. But anyway, the Australian Grand Prix. Raj, where does the Australian Grand Prix rank in your overall excitement for all our circuits that we have for the year? It's the question I ask every time.
Well, I mean, it is my home race. So as you can imagine, near the bottom.
That's really disappointing.
Yeah, I know it is, but our track's not exactly the best track. It doesn't produce much
action.
It is pretty.
It is one of the prettier tracks, but you're right. It is, from a circuit point of view, not conducive for the most amount of racing.
It's also just a very horrible track for the engineers to start at, because it's so different from any other track, really, that any of the data you get there doesn't really apply to any other circuit. So it's very confusing.
Yeah,
it's
not
a
great
people.
Indication of where the teams are at necessarily.
Mm.
But it is always a fun one because we get to go there sometimes. Raj, you will be there, so that's
I will
exciting.
Be there.
But quick little bit about it: it was first held, the Australian Grand Prix, in 1928, not at Albert Park, of course, but in its current form, it is under contract to be there till 2023. It's a 58-lap race. 307 kilometers with a circuit length of just 5.3 kilometers. So it is, you know, pretty much average in terms of length and, you know, everything like that, amount of turns. It's a standard clockwise track. There's nothing about it that stands out in particular.
Nope.
Yeah. I like turn one and two.
You do?
In terms of when they get off the line.
Wow. Well, I'm sitting on turn one. So
yeah, the start of Australian Grand Prix is always good. It's always a good start.
Yeah.
Then once the drivers get a bit more separated, it dies off a little bit, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But hopefully we can get some action.
Hopefully.
But this is where the action is for Backmarker Podcast, because we get to do more predictions.
Yay.
This is my favorite part of the show. Raj, I am getting a Backmarker predictions spreadsheet going for this year. So what we're actually going to do is at the end of the year, tally up how close we were to each of our predictions race by race and see who the ultimate predictor is.
Cool.
Most of the time, we just assume it's me, but we will have numbers to prove it this year. Raj, first question.
I'll prove that I'm clearly better at predicting things than you.
Okay, we'll see. Raj, first of all, who's going to win? You really should have been prepared. You knew I was going to ask you this.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know. Okay, I am going to say Sebastian Vettel.
Okay, interesting. So you're counting on that this Ferrari good start is where it's at.
Yep.
I'm going to go a little different. I'm going to say Hamilton.
Okay.
I really hope this isn't the trend for the rest of the year that we just make a combination of those two. Race weekend after race weekend.
I reckon it'll hopefully turn into it will turn into Hamilton versus Leclerc pretty quickly.
Ooh.
Yeah.
We will see. We will see. Moving on, though, to complete the rest of the podium, who do you have for second and third?
Second is going to be Charles Leclerc.
Ooh.
Yep.
Wow, podium. First race of the year.
First race of the year, first podium.
I like it. I'm going to say Leclerc as well. And then for third, I'm riding Vettel.
Okay.
So I'm saying Ferrari's going to have a great weekend, but Hamilton will just be a little bit better for the first couple of races.
Okay.
Who do you have for third?
Verstappen.
Whoa. Man, what's happened to Mercedes? Just not there?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Pole position, though. I've gone Hamilton. I have a lot more faith in Mercedes than you do, obviously.
Yeah. Shit, though. For qualifying, though, Hamilton is always a good choice, but I'm going to say Vettel, pole to win.
All right, fair enough. And your fastest lap, I've gone Daniel Ricciardo, because it's his home race. He'll want to do something out there.
It's true. He'll want to do something, but I don't think he's going to be able to do that.
Okay.
So I reckon I'll give that one to... All right, who should I go with? Pierre Gasly.
Interesting. Okay, that's not a bad pick. That's not a bad pick. How many DNFs? I've gone with two. I'm predicting one of them will be a Williams out of embarrassment, and one will be a normal racing incident or engine failure.
Okay. I also two.
Yep.
But mine is...
Both Williams out of embarrassment?
No, the Haas might just fuck up again this year.
Both? Oh, God.
Because they just want to live up to how well they do at Albert Park normally.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other is going to be a Williams through Seppuku, though.
Oh,
so
right.
So it's just
on
going
track
to,
that yeah, bad.
On track.
Wow.
Props itself up. Disembowels itself.
Jesus. Oh, you meant in the car. I thought you meant a driver. Oh, the car itself will do it.
The car itself
will disembowel
itself. All right,
well, if that happens, you will definitely be saying yes to the next one. Because, Raj, this one is not scored, but this will be... It'll be a debate next week. Do we think that this year's Albert Park race will be better or worse than last year's? Remember, Ferrari won last year, which was a nice change of pace.
Yeah.
Not totally new change of pace, but, you know, it'd been a long time. Besides the year before.
But okay.
besides the year before.
Better is so subjective.
I know. That's
right?
Why I'm saying we're going to have to debate it next week. I'm saying yes. It'll definitely be a better race.
I think it will be a better race.
Hopefully better results.
Yep. Same.
And finally, Raj, our favorite section is crack predictions. Would you like to maintain the car killing itself? Because that would be insane. I would reward bonus points if that happens.
If that happened, yeah, totally. But no, I'm going to go with... How about this? For my crack prediction, Leclerc beats Vettel first race out.
Leclerc beats Vettel.
Yeah. First race out.
But you said Vettel's going to win and Leclerc's going to come second.
So, crack predictions are always separate from real predictions.
Okay. Actually beats Vettel. All right, cool. That's not that... All right, that's not that cracky.
That's not cracky enough?
Yeah, I don't know.
I can crack it up more.
No.
Ricciardo takes a podium.
Oh, that's a better one. All
that's
right.
Better.
Ricciardo finally podiums at his home race.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Better crack.
Again, goes against your actual prediction, but that's fine. Mine is that there will be a track invasion.
Mid-race.
At some point over the weekend.
At some point over the weekend. It's almost guaranteed. There's always someone on the track through the weekend.
No, not televised. It has to be televised.
Okay.
So, during a session.
Yeah.
Okay? How's that?
Okay.
It's a very Australian thing to do. There's some idiots out there. It's predicted to be quite hot over the weekend. A lot of alcohol, a lot of sun. People's brains don't respond very well.
Yeah.
That's my prediction.
Yeah, fair enough.
Probably not even that insane. Speaking of weather, though, the one thing we didn't mention was the weather for this weekend. It's going to be sunny. It's going to be hot in Melbourne. Very, very low chance of precipitation over the weekend.
What temperature?
On Saturday, it's a maximum of 30.
Okay.
Sunday is a maximum of 28.
Oh, okay. That's not that bad. It's not that hot. What the hell are you talking
about?
It's
warm, Raj. It's
warm. Okay, it's warm. It's not
and
hot.
And reasonably humid as well, so it'll feel hotter.
No.
Yeah, bring some cold water.
I should take my ice vest with me?
Bring your ice vest. Yeah, yes, okay. Keep cool. Keep yourself cool. But of course, Raj, being the opening race of the year and you are being our backmarker representative at the race, you will be live streaming stuff on our Facebook page.
Indeed, I will.
Maybe our Instagram page.
Indeed, I will.
Maybe you'll put up a post on our Twitter.
Maybe I will.
Maybe you should. And we've got our website to find all of those links, which is backmarkerpodcast.com.
You should give me the Twitter login.
I've given that to you in the past.
Have I?
I'll send it to you again. I'll send it to you again. Okay. You definitely have access. But all the stuff you need to find for the weekend will be at backmarketpodcast.com. And we will post links to our fantasy contest, which is starting right now, basically.
Yeah, literally right now.
Yeah, we're not using the same website as last year. We're going to jump onto the official Formula One fantasy service that they're running.
Yep.
So the link to that will be in the show notes. Raj has the link. Send it to me so I can put it in the show notes.
I already put that link up on our Facebook, I will provide it to Braden again.
And we'll post it on Facebook again. We'll post it everywhere, so join up.
And we'll post it everywhere. Yeah,
that'd be a lot of fun.
For sure.
Is there anything else to address?
Not really. Just, I'm going to Melbourne.
Okay. Raj, we have a new thing to end the show. Rip into the Kimi Raikkonen Book of Poetry.
I will.
Give us a good one. Just pull one at random.
At random?
Actually, we should be doing them in order. Do them in order, week by week. Okay. What's the first poem we're going to end our show on?
First poem is normal. If we all feel normal, then all of my friends are also not normal. And that's the end of Backmarker for the week. Have fun.
Have a good one.